The scripture today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Hear the word of the Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord.
During these weeks of Advent, we have been focusing on a Christmas family portrait. Uncle Zechariah, Aunt Elizabeth. Last Sunday, Father Joseph. On Christmas Eve, Son Jesus. And today, Mother Mary. Please join me in prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For almost 500 years, Mother Mary has been at the focal point of controversy. Our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters believe that Mary was specially prepared to bear God's Messiah and bring that Son into the world, that she was herself immaculately conceived, that she lived a life of moral purity, and that she remained a virgin throughout her lifetime. We Protestants, on the other hand, do not find evidence for these beliefs in Scripture, and so we respectfully disagree. Unfortunately, our disagreement has too often distanced us, not only from those with whom we disagree, but from Mary herself. Not wanting to paint a halo over her head, we have virtually airbrushed her out of the picture. We are sometimes in such a hurry to get to the babe in the manger that we walk right past the mother, as though this were not only a virgin birth, but a motherless birth. But Mary found favor with God. How can we do less than pay her our highest respect? For one thing, we can appreciate her unaffected plainness, her plainness, her ordinariness. Had there been a video camera in Mary's house the day Gabriel came calling, we might have seen her preparing breakfast for the family, washing the dishes afterward. We could watch her sweep the floor, haul water from the town well, knead the dough for tomorrow's bread, catch up with the mending. There was no halo around her head. There was no aura reflecting from her face. Just the ruddy complexion of a young girl used to hard work. A teenager whose life to that point had contained little more than the dull routine of her daily chores. We might prefer to think of Mary as sitting in her room reading the Bible when Gabriel came knocking at the door. But that would have been unlikely for several reasons. First of all, Mary probably didn't have a room of her own. Secondly, very few families could afford that very costly handwritten scroll that comprised the Bible in those days. And finally, Mary's hard scrabble life would not have afforded any time to read, if she could read at all. Because in those days, only boys were sent to school to get an education. According to the gospel narratives, God chooses Mary quite apart from any qualities inherent within her or any merit that she had earned. Mary may be beautiful or plain. It makes no difference to God. She may have a rich dowry or be as poor as a church mouse. It makes no difference to God. She may be morally pure or as flawed as you and I. It makes no difference to God. The Apostle Paul may have had Mary in mind when he penned these words, "God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world so that no one might boast in the presence of God." Mary never boasted before God or before her friends. Mary never thought of herself as anything more than a servant of the Lord. Think of it. She went on no world tours. She authored no autobiographies. She gave no interviews to the Roman press. She sold no movie rights. She appeared on no talk shows, not even Larry King Live. And everybody appears on Larry King Live. And best of all, in my mind, she franchised no Mary dolls. Mary was as plain as the girl next door. And isn't that a trait we can appreciate? Well, to whom do you turn when the storm clouds gather and you need a friend to talk to? Whose shoulder do you cry on? Whose ear do you pour forth your troubles and your trials? Oh, you don't go to those who trot out their awards and their trophies, the name droppers, the social climbers, the people who stand 6 feet above contradiction. No, we may admire celebrities. We may collect their autographs. But we confide in ordinary folks because they know who we are. They're just like us. Nor, for that matter, will others confide in us if we forget that we came into this world in utter helplessness and we will leave as we came. So if you have achieved some stature in life, if you have achieved some notoriety, some wisdom, some experience, some knowledge, it is only because God has looked with favor upon you and has given you those gifts. They are gifts. It is only because God has looked on the lowliness of you, His servant. So, whatever your position, whatever your prominence, whatever your power, do as Mary did in her grand hymn that we call the Magnificat, "My soul magnifies the Lord." She did not magnify herself. Remember that just a few millimeters below your persona, there lies a plain human being who owes all that you have and all that you are to God. Mary knew that. Do you? I believe we can appreciate Mary also for her unconcealed perplexity. Almost every time Mary crops up in the Gospels, she's puzzled about something. She just doesn't mind admitting it. I don't understand what's going on here. When Gabriel came to her home, the text says she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Well, wouldn't you be if an angel suddenly showed up in your kitchen? Anybody seen an angel lately? I'd like to interview you and see what you felt about it. Somebody said to me after the last service, he said, if this had been a Baptist church, I would have held my hand up. And he said, I would have said, yes, I've met an angel. And he looked at his wife and said, and I married her. I'll tell you, if an angel showed up at my home this afternoon, I would be as perplexed as Mary. And then when the shepherds showed up and shared what they heard about the newborn child, the text says Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. She treasured them as if they were too precious to talk about at her Tuesday morning Bible study. And she pondered them in her heart as if she couldn't make heads or tails out of them. And then there was that time her 12-year-old stayed behind in Jerusalem when she and the rest of the family were leaving to go home to Nazareth after the feast. 3 days later, visibly upset parents found him discussing theology with seminary professors in the temple. A perplexed Mary said, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." There it is, anxiety. "We've been perplexed. We don't know what to do with you." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. She treasured them, but she didn't understand them. Perplexed, confused, worried, upset, anxious. That was Mary. A Spanish saint once prayed for his people, "May God deny you peace and give you glory." Mary would have understood that prayer. For all the glory she received in giving birth to the Son of God, she had no peace in rearing that child. She had no peace in watching him in his public ministry, wondering where he was going, what was going to happen to him. And she certainly had no peace when she stood at noon below the cross watching his life ebb away. Her son was like a jigsaw puzzle to Mary. You know about jigsaw puzzles, don't you? It's easy to put the outline together. But she couldn't fill in the center. The pieces simply wouldn't mesh. I, for one, find this very reassuring because there is so much about life that I do not understand. I don't understand why my son-in-law was killed at the age of 32. By a drunk driver. I don't understand that. I don't understand why many of you, have to suffer as you do. I don't understand why the radiologist I called on yesterday afternoon as Carol and I took communion to him, this man who had had such an eminent career in a New York City hospital and who had given of his free time in retirement to travel across the nation to fill in for radiologists as far west as Nebraska. I don't understand why that man is suffering now from Parkinson's and is confined to a bed and for a few hours a chair. And as I stood and talked to him, saw the smile break out on his face, but he could not speak. He could not talk to me. I don't understand. I don't understand. I'm perplexed. And if you are as puzzled as I am, we may take comfort in the company of Mary, for she remained perplexed throughout her life over the mystery of God's incarnation in her Son. But dear friends, that did not stop Mary from saying yes to God. And so finally, let us honor Mary for her unalterable promise to God. "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." I have no doubt that Mary could have said no, because God is no tyrant. God never forces, never coerces, never compels. Mary might have bargained with God, "Lord, answer all my questions about this before I say yes. I don't understand where this might be leading me. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my son? What's going to happen to my family? Lord, answer my questions, please, so I can make an informed decision. Tell me what I'm in for. How will this change my life?" But Mary, plain Mary, perplexed Mary, Mary trusts God to know what God is doing. And Mary says yes. Are you ready to say yes to God? When God knocks at your door and says, "I have something important for you to do," are you ready to make your promise even though you don't know where that promise will lead you? Are you ready to trust God with the rest of your life? I hope the students among us will ponder Mary's promise when you choose your career, because Mary was 14, perhaps, when she said yes to God. Oh, the world says, "Go for all the money you can." Mary says, "Go for the ministry you can do. Choose a career, find a calling, do some work that will benefit the human race. And if that is not your career, then in your free time, give of yourself so that you can make a difference. Light a candle of hope and peace and love and joy." I hope the retirees among us will ponder Mary's promise as you plan for your golden years. The culture says, "Grab as much fun as you can." Mary says, "Give as much of yourself as you can." Mentor a struggling student. Read for the blind. Visit a lonely widow. I hope every person here this morning will ponder Mary's prayer as you think about your relationship with God. You may not have a relationship with God, but you can have. You can have. Or you may think that God is too remote, that God is insensitive, that God is indifferent to you and to your needs. Or you may feel that you are too small for God, too insignificant for God. Mary proves otherwise. For Mary was nothing more than the utterly plain, often perplexed teenager in Nazareth, whom God knew, whose name God called, and whom God made a full partner in God's plan to redeem the human race. And I tell you this morning, as plain as you may be, and as perplexed as you may feel, God wants you too as a partner. Oh, not for so dramatic a birth as Mary's, of course not, but for a birth nonetheless. For you too can be reborn today as a child of God through faith in Mary's son, Jesus. And when you have been reborn as a child of God, you can then give this tired old world a rebirth of hope and joy through your loving actions wherever God may direct you. And if you're not sure how to go about it, Mary's promise is a good place to start. Say it today. Say it now, in the silence of your heart. "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word."